good morning and happy Sunday to everybody. I pray that your Thanksgiving was full of zero homework and full of a lot of sleeping in and a lot of fun and all of that good stuff. Quick shout out to all the college students that's in town. I just want to say hello to you, me being a college pastor. But to everybody, welcome back to the house of the Lord. What better place to be than in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, on the day of the Lord that he has made? The Bible says that this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad there in it. So in my time allotted, I'm going to talk to you today about the Lord's Supper. Raise your hand if you've ever taken the Lord's Supper. Cool. All right, I remember... I don't know how old I was, maybe somewhere between 5 and 8. So I could have been 5, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in the middle there. I remember taking, at the church I went to, they call it communion. And I remember I didn't know what was going on. I don't know, they pass around this juice, they pass around this wafer. And I'm like, what is this? And so as I got older, I began to really think about what it really means. And so another thing about the Lord's Supper that my family, we used to do it together as a family, doing like family worship. And my dad would get out the crackers, we'd get some Wilson's juice, and it was a sweet time of communion and fellowship as we partake in the Lord's Supper. And that's what we're going to do on today. And so just like some people say dressing and others say stuffing, there's other names for the Lord's Supper. Real quick, is it dressing or is it stuffing?
Stuffing.
Raise your hand if you call it dressing. Raise your hand if you call it Lord's Supper. Raise your hand if you call it stuffing. You're wrong. It's dressing at my house. No, I'm just playing. So just like some people call it dressing, some people call it stuffing, the Lord's Supper goes by other names. You have in the Catholic Church what's called the Eucharist, and that is a Greek word meaning giving thanks, which is appropriate word for today, giving thanks. Then you also have the word communion, which expresses a shared community. It expresses unity, and it expresses closeness. But here at Champion Forest Baptist Church, we call it the Lord's Supper. So by the end of this sermon, you're going to know two things: what the Lord's Supper is, and why do we do it. And then we're going to conclude by worshiping together and partaking in the Lord's Supper. So I don't just get to be a preacher of the word, but a doer of his word as we do it. And you don't just get to be a hearer of the word, but you get to be a doer of his word as well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today just thanking you for this wonderful day. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. We can never tell you thank you enough. So, Lord, really just help us to lean in and to focus as we hear about what you have to say. So, Lord, speak to me and speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. So, friends, I need you guys to listen, to lock in, middle school, high school, and everybody here, because the sooner you understand this, the better. So let's focus. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just 4 verses for you today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Before we read that, let me give you some context. The Apostle Paul, he's addressing some problems with the Corinthian church. Sounds normal. There's always some things going on. They were participating in what they called the love feast, which was a meal shared by the early Christians that was in connection with the Lord's Supper. It was used to remember Christ, to encourage others, and to share in God's provisions. But friends, they was doing it wrong. There was overeating. Anybody overeat? Don't say it. I may have did it. There was overeating. There was favoritism. There was gluttony. Same thing as overeating. I was redundant. There was a lot of division, and the food was not being shared properly. Sounds like a Thanksgiving meal gone wrong. But let's go to God's word. And this is what the Apostle Paul has to say to the church at Corinth. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on this night when he was betrayed, he took bread. Shout out bread. All right, thank you. 25%. We good. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Shout out remembrance. There we go. In the same way, the Lord also took the cup. In the same way, he took the cup. And after supper, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this. And as often as you do this, you do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We thank God for his inspired and infallible word. So my first point is, what is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is an act of worship that calls to mind the greatest tragedy in history. And that was the death of Jesus Christ. Not only does it call to mind the greatest tragedy, but it calls to mind the greatest hope ever offered, and that's in the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance. In other words, it's just a fancy word for a command. It was a command of the church that was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself that we see clearly in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It happened during the Last Supper, and it took place at the Passover. Anybody ever heard of Passover? Cool, you're about to hear about it now. So it's hard to talk about the Lord's Supper without talking about the Passover. So when you go all the way back, I believe it's Exodus 12, the people of God, they were in slavery. Moses, he'll go up to Pharaoh and like, let my people go. And Pharaoh was like, nah. So God had to step in with these 10 plagues. And the 10th one was the worst one of all, where he killed the firstborn child of everyone. And so the way that the people of God escaped it, they had to kill a lamb. And they would take the blood of the lamb and apply that blood to the doorpost. So they'll put blood on it. And then so when the Lord sent out the death angel, everywhere that the death angel saw the blood, he passed over it. So we call it the Passover. And so because we call it the Passover, because every time the death angel came, he would pass over wherever he saw the blood. When we fast forward to today, we see that the Israelites, they were redeemed from slavery because of the blood of the lamb. But we are saved from the slavery of sin, the slavery of death, the slavery of Satan himself, the slavery of damnation because of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. There's two elements when it comes to the Lord's Supper. You have the bread and you have the cup. They are symbols, all right? It doesn't mean, I know in other doctrines we teach, they teach that it actually becomes the blood and the flesh. We don't teach that. They are just symbols. Or is it, they do that because they, when they read John, they say, this is my body. For example, if I was to show you a picture of my dad, that's not, well, I don't feel like going to one now. But if I was to show you on my phone a picture of my dad and say, this is my dad, it's a metaphor. My dad is not in my phone. It's just a picture of my dad. So the bread and cup are just symbols. So the bread represents what? The body. There we go. So the cool thing here, Jesus is the bread of life that provides eternal life. Then we have the cup. What does the cup represent? The blood of Jesus that was shed for your sins and that was shed for my sins. Now, the Lord's Supper has a past element, a present element, and a future element. So regarding the past, the Lord's Supper looks back at the cross and at Christ's sacrificial death and his substitutionary death. When it says substitutionary death, that means it should have been me on the cross. It should have been you on the cross. Because it was my sin, my rebellion, my disobedience, but Jesus was my substitute. He took my place. What should have been my sin? It's like if I had I'm the baby of the family. Let's say I had a younger brother, and he did something wrong, and in my house, we get whoopings. I don't get any no more. I'm 28. I better not get no more whoopings. But anyway, let's say I had a little brother. He did something wrong, and it was worthy of the worst whooping ever, and I said, nah, little bro. I got you. I'll take this whooping. That's what Jesus did for us, but on a much, much grander scale. He took our punishment. He took our pain. He tagged and came in, and it was him on the cross instead of me. I'm so grateful that Jesus is my substitute. So the Lord's Supper is the perfect opportunity to express our deepest praise, to express our deepest worship, and to express our deepest appreciation as we look back at what Jesus did for us. Never forget. Never forget the sacrifice. Never forget the pain. Never forget through all the gory details that Jesus went through for you and he went through for me. Now then, of course, there's a present element. So regarding the present, the Lord's Supper is a beautiful and sweet time of fellowship that we share together as brothers and sisters in Christ. It is spiritual nourishment and empowerment that should inspire us to continue to share the gospel and to continue to make disciples so that others out there can partake of what we do in here. Friends, every time we take the Lord's Supper, every time we eat the bread, every time we drink from the cup, we're in essence saying, I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I am saved. I have been made right with God because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. So they have the past element, the present element, and then we have a future element Guys, there's something to look forward to regarding the Lord's Supper. Regarding the future, the Lord's Supper looks forward to God's kingdom coming down and the return of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. Life is good. I got the best job in the world. You guys are fun to hang out with. But there's something better than this. A place where get it now. I'm still working on how to think through this, but there's a place where there's no more pain, where there's no more suffering. No longer I see our family members go through the bondage of sin and just go through death, because with Jesus, there is no death on that side. This is a reminder that something better is coming. It's better than the iPhone X. It's better than the 4K television. It's better than virtual reality. It's better than having Christmas every day. That'll be pretty cool. It's better than that. We're going to be in the blessed presence of Jesus Christ. All in all, the Lord's Supper is a special time that should not be taken lightly, but it should be taken very seriously. Let's revisit the text, verse 24. We see the part where it said, gave thanks. We see that Jesus not only gave thanks here, but he also gave thanks when he was feeding the 5,000. This is a reminder that Thanksgiving didn't end on last Thursday. Thanksgiving is more than a holiday, but Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. We should be telling God thank you every single day, because God is doing something for us every single day. Thanksgiving is never over, because God is always doing great things. Amen? Amen. We got to count our blessings. One of the things that I do, maybe, I can't remember the last time I'm doing, maybe at least every 2 months, I would literally write down my blessings. And when I would go back and look at that on days it's probably not as good as I want them to be, I look back and see that God is good. We need to count our blessings, so it can always put us in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. Let me say it to you like this. What if we woke up on this Sunday morning with only what we told God thank you for on Saturday? I wonder how much would you wake up with. We got to always be expressing our thanksgiving to Jesus for what he has done. Then verse 24, we see this phrase that says, do this in remembrance of me. Now raise your hand if you ever traveled somewhere and you bought this thing called a souvenir because you wanted to remind you of where you've been. Anybody ever bought a souvenir? Cool, cool, cool. All right. So how you say it? Souvenir? Blame it on Mississippi. All right. So I'm going to say souvenir for the day. So the Lord's Supper is kind of like a souvenir. Say it right? All right. So I got a souvenir. Feel proper, souvenir. I got a souvenir for myself. I think Ryan got something similar as well. New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. This souvenir, every time I look at this in my office, it reminds me of a couple of all-nighters, because I procrastinated. Don't be like me, be better than me. All right. It reminds me of a couple of all-nighters. It reminds me of a lot of late-night Taco Bell runs when I should have had my homework done before 12. It reminds me of times, let me stop parents in the room, like, don't be like him. All right, it reminds me, not only does it remind me of those times, but it reminds me of when they called my name and I walked across that stage. It reminds me of the time when I had 40 of my friends, closest friends and closest family members travel to New Orleans to celebrate me and my accomplishment. Every time I look at this NOBTS souvenir, this mug, I think about the good times that I had in seminary and the wonderful day that it was to graduate. Y'all, graduation is a cool thing, so stay in school, all right? And so a souvenir, as we know, is defined as a thing that's kept as a reminder of a person, place, or thing. So just like this reminds me of my time in seminary, the Lord's Supper reminds us of the ultimate sacrifice. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, we remember the sacrifice. We remember his death. We remember his life. We remember his love. We remember his faithfulness. So every time we drink from the cup, we eat from the bread, we do this, we bring back to remembrance what Jesus did for us. See, most of us, and myself included, we try to forget how our loved ones died. But Jesus wants us to remember. He wants us to remember his death, because everything within the Christian faith hangs and falls on his death. Christ died for our sins. It was his death that paid the price for our sins. We owed it, but Christ paid it. Let me read this passage of scripture to you. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. But God showed his love for us that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yo, while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till I got it together before he would have come and died, because he would have been waiting for a mighty long time. But while I was enemies of the cross, while I was in my wrongdoing, God sent his son Jesus to die for you and me. So since therefore we have now been justified, shout out justified, that means we have been made right by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we was enemies, my God, while we was enemies, we was reconciled. Say reconciled. Reconciled to God, meaning that we're in right relationship with God the Father because of what God the Son, Jesus, did. So we've been reconciled to God by the death of his Son, Jesus. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than this, we also rejoice. What we're about to do in the Lord's Supper is a time of celebration and a time of rejoicing, because we rejoice in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen to that. Now back to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 25. We see the phrase, new covenant in blood. Now covenants, they had to be ratified or made official in blood. Similar to how today our contracts are ratified or made official through our signature. So because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we have a better covenant. Now, we don't use that word that much today, so let's use the word deal. We have a better covenant. We have a better deal with much better promises and the best sacrifice, Jesus Christ himself. Now, listen to this. Lean in. Lock in. Jesus' death establishes a new covenant between God and man, a covenant of forgiveness and a covenant of love. So in the Old Testament, they was living under the old covenant, and the New Testament, they was living under the new covenant. So I was like, how am I explaining new covenant and old covenant? So I'm going to try this out. All right. Y'all ever seen one of these? They still make these? A disposable camera?
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool. All right, so I had to find this at home. It's a little dusty, so don't touch it. I don't know what you can get. But anyway, so with this camera, you can only use it once, and I believe you can take maybe, I see 39 in there. You can take 39 pictures. And even if I wanted to take a picture now, I can't because it's outdated and because it's old. It's only good for one use. You have to buy these things over and over. You had to wait days to see the picture. It's when you used to go to Walmart. You give them the camera. You say, buy to your pictures. You come back, then you look at them. You're like, man, I should have took a better picture. Some of them will come out right. Some of them will come out wrong. And so this is a disposable camera representing of the old covenant. But Jesus gave us a new covenant, which is similar to this cool camera. I like this. I like it too. All right. So with this camera, I only have to buy it one time. And then when I take the pictures, I can see it right then and there. I can take a picture now, but I'm not. All right. So I can take a picture now. I can take multiple pictures over and over. I can see them right when I want to see them. I can zoom in. This Nikon camera compared to this disposable camera. I need to take this to Walmart. I don't know what pictures on this. Probably like 7-10 years ago. I still can use it today. It's a much better than that disposable camera. So the new covenant that we have in Christ is much better than the old covenant. I thank God for David and for Joshua and for Moses and for Abraham and all the Old Testament characters, but we're living in a better covenant. We have a better deal because of what Jesus Christ did for us. So the new covenant that we have is much better than the old covenant. And the old covenant, you had to constantly go and kill animals. Poor goats, poor lambs. When that was sin, there had to be the shedding of blood. I'm so glad that I live under the new covenant, because I don't know how to hunt. I would have been going after lambs, and they would have got away from me. And I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry, I tried. I'm so glad I have to go and find lambs. I'm grateful that I have the one and only Lamb of God under the new covenant. He don't have to keep dying over and over again. It was once and for all, one sacrifice, and that's what Jesus did for us. Glory to God. Which leads me to my second point. Why do we do, and this is a shorter point, so don't get nervous. Why do we do the Lord's Supper? I am so glad that you asked, because I have the answer. So Jesus, first of all, we do it out of obedience. Jesus commands us to do it, and as followers of Jesus Christ, we must be obedient to his every command. We do the Lord's Supper to remember his sacrifice, to remember his suffering, and to remember his shame. The Lord's Supper is a great time where we rededicate ourselves to the cause, and the cause is found in the Great Commission. We rededicate ourselves to making disciples. We rededicate ourselves to sharing the gospel so that others one day can take part in the beauty and the power of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a visible sermon. It's a visible reminder of God's mercy and of God's grace. It's a reminder of God's love. It's a reminder of God's promises. And it's a reminder of his faithfulness. We do this to honor Jesus. We do this to celebrate our salvation. We do this to celebrate eternal life. Forgive me if I get a little happy, but I'm talking about Jesus. We do this to express thanksgiving because we owe God our everything. We do this to remember the gospel. The Lord's Supper reminds us of the victory that we have in Jesus, the victory that we have in this life, and the victory that we have in the next. Friends, don't forget the price that was paid for your salvation. Don't forget what Jesus did to secure our salvation. Don't forget his pain that was endured. And don't forget his passion that was expressed on the cross. So, friends, the gospel encompasses an amazing story about an amazing God that gives us amazing grace. See, in the gospel, Jesus, he took my sin and gave me salvation. He took my failures and he gave me forgiveness. He took our guilt and he gives us grace. I'm so grateful for the gospel. He took my judgment and he gave me justification. He took my punishment. He took my pain and gave me peace with God.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.